We were talking to Melissa Weller. When I say that she's written a masterpiece, I'm not exaggerating. This is going to be the definitive go-to book on the science of dough and the art of making bread at home. It's called Very Good Bread. Congratulations, Melissa. It's a wonder.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Oh, well, first of all, your background. I mean, let's just start with, you could tell from the first page that you have a
Oh,
science background.
that's funny.
So tell our listeners where you come from. I mean, not place of birth, but I mean, out of your,
Yes.
what training.
I studied chemical engineering in college, and so after college, I worked as a chemical engineer before I went to culinary school. And so it's that engineering and chemical engineering. So it has the I have the chemistry background and math background.
Which I think that's probably chemistry was not my best subject. I was good at physics and biology, but
Okay.
chemistry was not my best. And I've never been a good baker. I'm never. And you
Ah.
give so many tips in this book that I'm willing to try again.
Oh, I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah, the other thing is, by the way, you have some really great credentials of where you worked and what you did. I can see you so easily interacting with Thomas Keller. He must
Oh,
have
well, that's
loved
nice.
you. Well,
I love my experience there.
yeah, well, I mean, I interviewed him at one point where, I got a dissertation on the mise en place. It was perfect, So
Yes.
I can see that kind of meticulousness goes with a scientific bent and an orderly mind, and you lay things out in that, with all that science background, you still manage to lay things out in an understandable, direct way for people to understand.
I'm happy to hear. I'm happy to hear you say that. I think it's my goal that everyone understands, how to make bread, and it can get pretty technical. And so
Oh, yeah.
I've taught a lot of bread classes actually, and I enjoy teaching bread classes. So I think some of that comes from my experience in teaching, home bakers who don't have a lot of experience in sourdough bread.
I see. Well, most people in their, well, this is your second cookbook, and the first one
Yes.
was such a success. Most people go through a period of making really big mistakes, and you don't write about making big mistakes.
I definitely have made lots of mistakes along the way, a lot of mistakes at home and also at work. And I think maybe I've used that experience in terms of like key pointers and things to help you along the way in my recipes. I've taken my mistakes so that you don't make any yourself.
Yeah, I mean, but the things that we all know are important, you highlight for us. So, I mean,
Yes.
for example, I don't, I mean, I get a lot of cookbooks, but I don't
Yeah.
know that one of the first and foremost things that anybody talks about in a cookbook is temperature. And you make a big
Ah.
point about that.
Ah.
Temperature of ingredients, temperature of the environment, the whole thing.
For me, I've been baking bread since I would say 2000, professionally that is, since 2007. And so I have become, and I've baked a lot of bread at home, and I've become so accustomed to doing things in a particular way that just comes to me without sort of thinking about it too much. And I wanted to get it all written down and shared on the page.
We did that. You did it. It
Yeah.
brought to mind. When we lived in Australia, I had this recipe for pavlova,
Oh, nice.
and it worked every time. My friend
Yeah.
from Australia visited me in my Pittsburgh kitchen, and
Yeah.
I mean, it was a sight to behold, with her having, she used a wooden spoon to kind of change the temperature in the oven, and I mean, it was a major production, I have to tell you. and it brought home the importance, because I mean the recipe that I used word for word in the story, it worked perfectly, but the temperature around where I was cooking was so different from.
So,
go ahead.
I was going to say, for my first cookbook, which was focused on pastries, I did use sourdough starter, and I had a cookbook writer for my first book, and we had to work. She was in San Diego, and I was in New York, and we had to work back and forth with her getting a starter going, up and going. And I think I learned a lot. I learned a lot in that process of having her follow my recipes. And she had not really worked with sourdough starter before in that way. And so I used some of that knowledge of working with her to, like, hopefully convey the right information in this bread book.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, there are so many variables. That's probably why I'm not a good baker, because you have to be pretty precise to get the results. And I have to tell you, nothing I've ever baked has looked as good as the photographs in your book. You had a fabulous photographer.
Thank you. I did. I love my photographer and her team. They were incredible to work with. And I also want to say, you know, I don't have a professional bakery at the moment, and so I made everything at home. And I know that that's a testament to my skill as a baker, but I also hope that that's a testament that you can create beautiful bread at home, because some bakers have the idea that you can only do it in a professional bakery, and that's not true. You can definitely make really great bread at home.
Yeah, that was one of the things I was going to talk to you about, is, without all the hoopla of a professional kitchen, you made these things that are fabulous.
Yeah. Yeah. If I had had a professional kitchen, I probably would have used it. It's so easy to, and, it would be tempting not to, or it would be tempting if you had one. Well, I think you know what I'm saying. And I just didn't have a kitchen available. And I have a really great comfort of baking at home. And maybe that's what makes it a little different for me, is I've baked equally at home as I have in a professional kitchen. And it's really comfortable and relaxing for me to bake bread at home.
Right. Now, every cookbook nowadays has the list of ingredients and what they use and so forth, and you have that. But you actually say why, which is it's a wonderful addition. You do the same with equipment and tools.
I think
why.
It's not an easy part of the book to write, and this is the first book that I had a co-writer for my first book, and this is the first book that I've written myself, and that section is not easy to write. And so I actually had to make it interesting for myself. I'm like, if I have to write this, I want to share, why would I share a particular ingredient when everybody knows everything that they can find these days about bread flour? And so in my mind, the best way, I mean, you could just Google it and get so much information. So I felt that the best way that I could make it personal would be to explain why I'm calling out for something. Like, otherwise it's just an ingredient, like everybody, like every other recipe has
That's
ingredients.
That's what I was referring to, a numbing chapter. No, I had no idea. You go into the depth, and like you have the, explain what your tutorials are. I'm looking at the yeast and sourdough starter tutorial, and you have various tutorials throughout the book.
It's a bread book, and it's technical, and so I don't want anybody to be intimidated by bread. And for me, the best way to do that was, there's a lot of information to convey about making bread, and tutorials to me were the best way to convey different parts of bread making.
Uh-huh. Well,
the hows and the whys, without because I think there's already enough information in each recipe without like repeating information, but just sort of getting to the nuts and bolts of how you make bread.
Right. Well, I mean, I never knew there were that many different forms of sourdough bread. I mean, you have a lot of them in here. I always got a kick out of the starter business and feeding the starter.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
It kind of makes it personalized.
It does. It's also not easy to write about. And so it is something that I took great pains to make sure it was done in a specific way in this book. And for me, because I think it gets confusing when you're a beginning baker, how do you use the sourdough that you're maintaining and how do you use it in a recipe? And then what if you have extra sourdough starter left over and you've just made all of this sourdough starter, what do you do? And so I separated it out so that you're maintaining your sourdough like you normally would, or, you know, it's the way I normally do. And then in each recipe, I have how to make the sourdough for that particular recipe. So you're not wasting any extra sourdough, if you will.
Now you have also throughout the book these master classes. Explain what your master classes sections are.
It is a skill set that you learn basically that applies to more than one recipe. I'm trying to think of an example. I think I have a master class for baguettes. And so for me,
yeah,
I wanted to talk about things that occur in the baguette, all of the baguette recipes, where it's a lot of information, but I wanted to sort of call it out, sort of separate it out so that if you wanted this information, you can find it, but you're not bogged down with it all in each recipe, although each recipe is like might
yeah,
want
I mean,
to
a
say,
good
well,
example of that is this your 12 steps of bread making. I mean, that sort of pulls the nugget out right there and puts it under your nose.
Is it? But I feel like I think we all learned. Well, all of those of us who went to culinary school, or I guess I went to the French Culinary Institute, and I just learned that there were 12 steps in bread making, and so, like, each thing, you know, felt like I should convey that information to somebody at home so that you can sort of start to understand like sort of different steps. Like, cause as a baker, I'll just talk about if I have a staff or I'm teaching somebody, oh, we're going to ferment the dough now. And well, what does that mean? And oh, we're going to proof the dough now. And what does that mean? To me, they need
how about autolyse? I never saw that word before. What is an autolyse?
Yeah, autolyse is in there also. And I did not make that a step, though, by the way. I included that in the mixing step. So this book, for me, this book conveys everything that I've learned about bread making in my career, both like at home through reading and experimenting and trying out different recipes, and also at work where I've been responsible for a lot of different bakeries and a lot of different types of bread.
Yeah, well, you also have these step-by-step photos that help explain things. Are those your hands?
Those are my hands, yes.
I remember a conversation I had with Lydia Bastianich, and one of her, you know her? Yeah, she's wonderful.
I do know, yes, yes.
Yeah, so, but she said that among the many compliments she gets on her books, a standout is how many people comment on her hands and they recognize her hands.
Oh, that's interesting.
If you look at her books, you'll see. I mean, it becomes very clear that those are Lydia's hands.
Oh, that's very interesting. These are my hands, so I hope they're okay. I'm like paging through the book now to see. I'm like, are my hands okay?
Now, you You have how many different types? I mean, you divide. How do you set up this book then? Maybe that'll bring me the answer to my question about how many kinds of things you talk about baking in
Yeah,
the bread category.
in the bread category, I definitely have bagels. That was important to me to include. Bagels, sourdough breads, like the big loaves of bread. I have rolls, like tiny little rolls. Like when I worked at Berce, we had to make lots of tiny dinner rolls. And so I have a section on dinner rolls. I have a section
Yeah,
on,
I
I
love
guess,
that, by the way.
avocado.
That's so much Thomas Keller. The fact that you
It
had to have
is.
them all be the same size, but they had all be different.
They all had to be the same size. I'm trying to remember. I think they all had to be 40 grams. They couldn't veer away from 40 grams.
I can just picture a conversation between you and Thomas. I can just picture it. You talk about precision.
That's fantastic. That's wonderful. That's wonderful to hear. What else? I have a chapter on baguettes and ciabatta. I have a chapter on pizza and focaccia. And I have sandwich rolls, and
Yeah,
I
you
have a
get
bread
into
timer
ingredients
chapter.
a lot. I mean, is your background Jewish?
It is not. It is
No, I
not
mean, I
Jewish.
was trying to decide that. I figured because of
I
your name,
know.
you might
It can
not
be
be.
confusing. Yeah, it might appear that way, but
But you know so
in
much about the Jewish culinary.
I wanted to, and I wanted to because I felt I had to. I thought to myself, I wanted to sell bagels at an outdoor market in Williamsburg in Brooklyn, maybe a dozen years ago now. And I wanted to pair them with food and I wanted to get it right. And I knew I didn't know because I didn't come from a Jewish background. And so I just made it my mission to, and I also love history. And so I made it my mission to understand, food history. In what goes with bagels in that way. And so
Yeah, I mean,
that
I liked
helped
also
me.
your references. I'm trying to remember what the specific was that
Oh,
you said.
yeah.
This is not a typical, this is not a Moroccan ingredient. And I
Oh,
thought,
sorry.
boy, she really studied this. Your
I
something was
think it's,
too, yeah.
yeah, I it really, it, yeah, it's my love. I love to travel. I love history. I love food culture. And so, I just try to do as much, research and understanding as I can before I go anywhere
Yeah.
or make anything.
I want to eat the pumpernickel raisin bagel. That sounds to me like heaven.
Ah, yes. Those are one of my favorites. I do love those for sure.
And then
And
you have pumpernickel everything bagels. I
I
mean, you
do.
have marble rye bagels. You have lots of
Yes.
bagels.
I do have a lot of bagels, but this was, I actually thought if I should, before I decided to write a bread book, I thought I was going to write a bagel book. And I thought, no, I felt that bagels are bread and that I wanted to include them with all of the other breads. But I also know that I spent a lot of my career making bagels. And I wanted to, some of it might, bagels might seem like redundant in some ways, but I think if you look at the book, there's only one, maybe one or two recipes that maybe could have been like squished together as like if the two recipes became one. But everything is very, unique and separate and different, just so that I can convey, as much information as I can, essentially.
Well, I mean, I like this master class of curating the perfect bagel platter. I love that. So you get
I'm happy to
listeners,
hear
you get
that.
more than just the bread component. You get a whole
Yeah.
bunch of other. I mean, and like here's one I'm looking at:
Oh,
slicing
that's
fish like a pro. Now that really knocked me for a loop.
It is definitely, it is what I did when I opened Siddells, and I figured out how the salmon should be sliced, and we just worked on Should I just worked on perfecting that for the team, and how are we going to do that? If we opened up what started out as a small like bagel shop became this very large restaurant that had a fish and bagel counter. And so it was important, you know, what kind of like fish we were getting in, but also how we were slicing it. And I
Yeah.
don't think it will ever be sliced as nicely as they do at Russ and Daughters, but
Right,
I know
well.
that it's important to like understand that process when you're, you know, when you're slicing salmon and making your own gravlax.
Well, I would say that definitely a plus is your inclusion into your curing salmon and like beet cured salmon. Did you make that up?
I did not. No,
No.
I think it's been around for a little bit. I know that
Juniper
when
berries.
I know that when I opened Sedel's, there was another bagel restaurant, Black Sea Bagels that was they offered, and I don't know if they still offer it. They offered beet cured salmon. I'm like, what is this? This is beautiful. I want to know how to make this. I'd like to make my own version of it.
Well, I mean, you even tackled improving egg salad.
I know, I
Nothing's
know.
below your interest level.
I think, yeah, I know. Again, you know, opening Sedel's was such a big part of my career and my life, and I was responsible for everything. And so it was really important at that time we had egg salad on the menu, and how do you make the best egg salad? And so I kind of like my technique.
Right. Well, you really expanded upon the concept of bread when, like in your flatbread section. I mean, that's one that you specify that labneh and douka were not traditional Moroccan ingredients.
That's
That's
right.
what I was referring to.
That's right.
But listeners, I mean, you would not expect in this bread cookbook to find lamb meatballs with yogurt and pickled onion, but it's here.
No, but I think for me, I make bread at home, and then what are you going to eat with it? And I love to cook at home. I think I get asked a lot, like, what kinds of pastries do you like to make at home, or cakes? And I generally don't. I actually do make a lot of bread at home, and then my fun in the kitchen is cooking savory dishes. And so for me, what's fun is coming up with different things that I can make with my bread, or pair with my bread, I should say, or put
Well,
on my bread.
your readers are going to welcome your tips on like here's your master class about sourdough loaves keys to success. That gives them a glimpse at how you can move above the ordinary level and make something rather startling, I think.
I think it's
Do you?
important. Yeah, no, it is really important that, you know, I think even as a professional, when I make a bread recipe, if it's not mine and I'm just trying to I'm just thinking of when I was learning to make bread and trying new things and just really trying to understand it and just craving any little bit of extra information that I could find. And I think if I have this information, my goal in writing the book is sharing the information. So that's, if I know it, then I share it.
Well, I never even heard of laminating doughs. I mean, it was just not. I
That's
mean,
true.
I come from a bread making family, and I mean,
Oh, nice.
I'm the odd person out. I'm not a baker for anything. But yeah, I know. But yeah, when I think of your instructions, I have to make a leap from watching my grandmother and my mother make bread to reading the details. I mean, it seems to me they didn't do anything special. They just threw it all together.
I know. I think my mom did too. I know she made some loaves of bread when I was a little kid. I remember those loaves. I think this goes back. This is definitely a lot of information. It's not, I have recipes that I think are easy, But I just, to me, it was about conveying as much information as I know about bread making. And I for me, because it's been my career, I just love to share everything that I know. And so that would probably be a lot of information. And so I just went about it the way I would want to receive the information. And maybe that goes back to the fact that I'm just such a detail-oriented, like scientific thinker that I share it in the same way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I learned a lot of new words. I learned a lot of new techniques. I have to admit, I never in my life heard of a mountain pie.
Oh, wait, you've never heard of a mountain pie?
Never.
Oh, that's so interesting. Well,
is that common?
I thought it was in Pennsylvania.
Yes, I don't know. I mean, I'm a lifelong Pennsylvanian, but I didn't know.
I'm guessing that my mom was very creative, and I'm guessing she saw it somewhere, and maybe in a magazine, or she got the idea from somewhere, and so she started making mountain pies when we would go on camping trips as kids. And I assumed that most kids in Pennsylvania grew up with mountain pies, but
yeah, you're right about it as if it's an everyday food. I thought to myself, where have I been? Why do I not know about these?
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. So I love reading this particular recipe, black truffle fantails.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, do they really just turn out looking like that?
They do. They do.
Wow.
It is. One of the reasons they turn out, you know, if you laminate dough, so you're making croissant dough or you're making a bread dough, you make a butter packet, and then you give the dough, you fold the dough around the butter packet, and you give it a series of folds. And the fantail recipe I think it's an easier recipe for laminating. I'm not saying it's an easy recipe, but an easier recipe for laminating because it has just two easy folds. And that's enough to not roll the butter into the dough, which happens a lot. For me, it does at least. And also give it enough pop and definition when you bake it like that. And I have to say, I think maybe I even wrote about this. Thomas Keller loves fantail bread. And I first made fantail bread rolls when I was at Per Se.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Now, I never saw green olive rolls, but I'd take one of those too. That sounds
great.
Pretty good.
I love this.
and I was really surprised.
Yeah.
With your seeded hoagie rolls.
Okay.
You start out by saying, I'm from Pennsylvania, and I grew up calling a 6-inch long sandwich roll filled with deli meat a hoagie. So I was an adult before I realized that hoagie was a regional term.
Yeah, I know. I don't think, you know, my editor from the book is also from Pennsylvania. And so I don't think I realized it was such a regional term, but she picked up on it. Because I think I was just calling them hoagies without really thinking about it. And she's like, that's a regional term. I'm like, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I didn't
well,
know.
I might have known a little bit, but yeah.
And then I'm looking at, you talk about good-looking breads. Your chapter on enriched breads is pretty amazing.
Oh, yes.
I mean, wouldn't I love to produce things that look like this?
Oh, thank you so much.
But you know what I found amazing is you actually come out and say in this chapter, you imply it all the way through the book, that making bread is fun.
Oh.
I mean, I view it as stressful. You view it as fun.
I know that some are more fun than others. For sure. I think if there's not sourdough starter in it, it's a little bit more foolproof. At least it is for me. And so I just thought that for me, the enriched bread section would be more fun things.
Yeah, well, you know what is fun? It's this photograph of you with the bread hands, the
That,
mandonise.
yes. That is fun. Glad you like that.
So, I mean, there is. I never. I mean, I was an art history graduate student. I don't remember the picture of Pablo Picasso at a breakfast table with these fingers and bread. But they're
I
cute, aren't
think,
they?
yeah, they are really cute, and they're fun to make. And I think it was my photographer who first pointed the photo out to me, and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is fun. I have to include this in the book, honestly. And so, because she was like, oh, we could take a photo of this, and I'm like thinking to myself, well, I'm going to make a recipe for that then.
Oh,
And
yeah, well, I
I think
thought
I
it
did
was
a little
great.
research, and wow, I'm like, I found the recipe. I'm like, who knew? And I think I've seen the photo. I'm not sure where, probably online somewhere. But I just thought it was really fun. And
Oh,
I
what
think that
fun.
that's what I meant by have some fun with bread.
Yeah, well, no, I can't wait to check out these baguettes with the little knobs at the end of them. I never noticed that.
Oh, nice. Yes. I think that any time a baker makes pointy tips on the ends of their baguettes, it's to signify that the baguette's not made by a machine, but that it's made by hand.
See, that's
And
a great
so,
idea.
yeah, it
Yeah.
is, right? It
Yeah.
is. I didn't. It wasn't my idea, but as a baker, I've definitely done my fair share of pointy-tipped baguettes.
Well, as a bonus, listeners, there's also a section on pizza that'll be an eye-opener in focaccia, pizza and
Yes.
focaccia. And yeah, I mean, it's a great book. Great book,
Oh,
and I
thank
just love
you. Thank you
talking to
so
you
much.
about it.
It was,
Now,
again,
I'd like to
fun
eat
for
all of this
me.
stuff, Melissa Weller.
Oh,
But I'd be happy to make something that looks half as good.
thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So, listeners, again, the author is Melissa Weller, who knows more about bread than your great grandmother did.
Oh,
And the title of the book is Very Good Bread: The Science of Dough and the Art of Making Bread at Home. Now, get that at home thing. So, you're all going to be able to use this in your everyday life. Melissa, it's a treasure. I really think it's a wonderful book. And
thank you.
thank
Thank
you
you
for
so much.
talking to us about it.
It's my pleasure, really. Thank you for having me.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.